the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Protestants are well known for knocking on people's doors and trying to share the gospel. Cold calling is what it's called in sales. And they developed a technique because they would find if they would ask somebody the question that would get to the nub of where they were spiritually, they would say, "Do you believe that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven?" The answer they would usually get was yes. So they developed a follow-up question to get the conversation along a little further. And so the follow-up question was, "Well, what if you got to heaven and God was to say to you, 'Why should I let you into my heaven?' What would you say?" And it's a question that's worth pondering, because even though we don't have any reason in Scripture to believe that God's going to ask us that question in that way, it's certainly worth considering what the basis is that we will be judged by. And many people, when they answer that question, would say things like, "Well, I'm a good person. I don't do any bad thing to people around me. I do good things." And this, of course, is not a sufficient answer. The Scriptures say, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And so we're not saved by our works. Now, if we were to analyze this passage logically, there's a distinction between a condition and a cause. And so grace is the cause of our salvation. And a lot of Protestants, they read this passage and they see grace and works being contrasted. And in fact, that's not the case. Because it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." So grace is the cause, faith is a condition, and you're not saved by your works. In other words, your works are not a cause. But elsewhere in Scripture, we're told that works are part of that condition, because St. James tells us that faith without works is dead. And St. Paul elsewhere says that faith works by love. So we know that a real faith is a working faith. It's not faith that's being contrasted with works, but grace being contrasted with works. We cannot earn our way into heaven. So there's no way that if God wants to ask us the question, "Why should I let you into heaven?" that we could list off all the things that we did, and somehow God would say, "Okay, well, I guess that's good enough. You can come on in." In the morning prayers, if you use the Jordanville prayer book, it would be the eighth prayer. Part of that prayer reads as follows: "O Savior, save me by thy grace, I pray thee. For if thou shouldst save me for my works, this would not be grace or a gift, but rather a duty. Yea, thou who art great in compassion and ineffable in mercy, for he that believeth in me, thou hast said of my Christ, shall live and never see death. If then faith in thee saveth the desperate, behold, I believe, save me. For thou art my God and Creator. Let faith instead of works be imputed unto me, O my God, for thou wilt find no works which could justify me, but may my faith suffice instead of all works." That's the attitude that we should have, is that our works are not sufficient, and it's only by our faith and God's mercy that we can possibly be saved. But the prayer ends with these words: "Vouchsafe me, O Lord, to love thee now as fervently as I once loved sin itself, and also to work for thee without idleness, diligently, as I worked before for deceptive Satan. For supremely shall I work for thee, my Lord and God, Jesus Christ, all the days of my life, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen." And the passage in Ephesians chapter 2 also is immediately followed by this verse: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So works and faith are never separated in Scripture. But we cannot, like the Pharisee, assume that because we've done this or that God owes us salvation, that we are somehow not in need of grace, because just by our works we are saved, and we are deluding ourselves. But again, James says this: "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." So a faith that does not have good works, in other words, someone who says that they have faith and yet fails to live the life of the gospel, has deceived themselves, and they're not justified. Getting back to the question of cause and condition, in my secular job, one of the conditions of my employment is that I have a Texas driver's license that's valid. Now, if I didn't show up for work, and I was to then come to my supervisor at the end of the month when it was time for my paycheck and wave the driver's license and say, see, here I met one of the conditions of my employment, where's my check? The answer would be, well, you didn't meet all the other conditions of your employment, and so therefore, you're not going to get that check. Also, to be able to vote in the United States, you have to be at least 18 years old and an American citizen, and you can't have been convicted of a felony unless you've been pardoned by the governor. Those conditions, meeting those conditions, don't earn you the right to vote. The right to vote is earned for you by all the people who have fought for that right since the founding of this nation, all the people who are still willing to fight for that right this very day. So you didn't earn the right to vote. You met the conditions, and so that's the difference. And so one of the conditions is that we believe. Another condition is that we repent, and also that we live a life that is pleasing to God. In other words, that our works follow that belief that we profess. But it's by the grace of God only that we're saved. St. Nicholas Kapuscielus wrote, when he was talking about the role that grace plays and the role that our own actions play, he says there is an element which derives from God and another which derives from our own zeal. The one is entirely his work. The other involves striving on our part. However, the latter is our contribution only to the extent that we submit to his grace and do not surrender the treasure nor extinguish the torch when it has been lighted. By this I mean that we contribute nothing which is either hostile to the life or produces death. It is to this that all human good and every virtue leads, that no one should draw the sword against himself, nor flee from happiness, nor toss the crowns of victory from off his head. But if ever there was a passage of Scripture that reminds us that works are necessary and how important they are, the gospel that we just heard is one of those passages. Because in that gospel, when the people stand before the judge, they're not asked, why should I let you into my heaven? Judgment is simply pronounced, and judgment is pronounced in this parable on the basis of what they did and what they did not do. Did they do the things that they were supposed to do, and did they refrain from doing the things that they were not supposed to do, or vice versa? And accordingly, they were judged. And so one might say, well, is this a contradiction? Well, here Christ is judging us based on our works and not not according to our faith or not according to grace. No, if our works don't match up, then we didn't have the faith. And so every passage of Scripture is not going to lay out every nuance of our salvation, but they emphasize certain points. And this passage is emphasizing that very point, that how we live indicates whether or not we really believe and whether or not we will be saved. The question that we should ask ourselves in light of this gospel is, if we think about the people that we like the least, the people that we care about the least, that we encounter in our daily lives, if God was to pronounce judgment on us based on how we treated them, whether it was good things that we did to them, or good things we failed to do to them or for them, or bad things that we do to them, would we be okay, or would we feel confident that the judgment would go well for us if he was to say, as you did it to that person, you did it unto me? And what would we say after that? Would it be, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, or would it be, depart from me, ye workers of iniquities? That's the question that we need to ask. That's the reason why the church sets this gospel reading before us as we prepare this final week of preparation before Lent. So let us ever keep a judgment before us so that we don't neglect our salvation, but that we work out our salvation in fear and trembling.